Well, you know, New Life speaks Spanish very well. But I don't speak English very well. My wife, Dinora, is with me right here. And our missions life, we spent 20 years of our lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia, planting Spanish churches. When we came to Fredericksburg, we came with zero English, not English at all. That happened like a 25, a little more than that, years ago. And you have to pay the price when you learn a different language. Sometimes you made a big, big mistakes. And I have a brother, a real brother and from my parents, that he's in heaven now. My brother married a lady from England, and this is why my nephew's first language was English. And I have one of my nephews that I don't trust him very well, and he came to me when we came to Virginia, and he says, "Uncle Luis, you need to learn a couple of expressions in English." And he started with the good ones. "I am hungry." "What is that?" Says, "I asked my mom." Says, "I did." And she says, "Yeah, it's okay to say that. I am hungry." Oh, well, he started with the good ones. And the biggest mistake, I stopped trusting him. And the very last day at the airport, he came and says, "Uncle Luis, when you are going to meet a person for the very first time, you will say, 'How are you, redneck?'" And I did. I did with my pastor in Virginia, in Fredericksburg. Yes, and I have my redneck pastor. But yeah, last night I was sharing with a team in supper time that pronunciation, English is so hard. Somebody told me that English is a heavenly language. And it's because it takes an eternity to learn it. but a month ago I was preaching another missions conference. I think Indiana. And this pastor says, "Pastor Luis, I love to walk." He says, "Do you want to walk with me tomorrow?" He says, "I love to walk too." And I says, "Yeah. What time? 6 o'clock. Okay, I will be here." And he says, "Don't forget your sneakers, please." I says, I won't. But he says, "Sneakers. I never heard that word before." And I went to Walmart. I bought a big bag of chocolate sneakers. See? Because I never heard that thing before. It says, I didn't know the North American eat shoes. But anyway, my English is not the best. Please forgive my English and try to put all your concentration to understand my broken English. But yeah, God, after 20 years here in Virginia, God called us to the mountains in Guatemala we grew up in the city in Guatemala, but in this time, God called us to the mountains to work with the Mayan Indians. When we were here in Virginia, I took every year, every summer, three or five teams to the mountains to help my people. Right there. 8.5 years ago, something like that, I took a medical team to the mountains, and these doctors and nurses, they provide a worms medicine, the parasite medicine, to the little ones in the mountains. United Nations says that area in Guatemala is the third highest percent of malnutrition in Latin America. But when we gave that medicine to the children, 5 minutes later, we saw the worms coming through the nose and through the ears. And this is when my oldest daughter says, "Hey, Daddy, I will pray that you don't sleep well tonight until you decided to do something for these little ones because they're dying." And in 1 month, we lost 4 of them because nothing to eat. And well, after we pray, my wife used to have a wonderful job. In the ministry also, but a good money, good job in Washington, D.C., and I used to have my job with my other organization, but when God calls, and period. And we came and we resigned to our jobs. We sold the house in Virginia. We sold the cars. We sold everything. And okay, and we moved to the mountains with to the Mayan people. And I think it was one of the best decisions done as a husband and wife we ever got, because God is showing us a wonderful, wonderful miracles among the Mayan people. We started eight and a half years ago feeding seven little ones. And because we didn't have sponsors or nothing, we start with our money, with our salary, feeding seven. But now we have over 400 kids coming every day to eat with us. These kids, then they came with black teeth because the malnutrition. They came with brown hair because the malnutrition thing. And actually, last night I was sharing about, you don't have to say anything because she is my favorite. Don't say anything, okay? But Juanita is 10 years old, and she lost one of her eyes because of the malnutrition. And praise God, one of the teams here in the state that support Happy Tummies, they send us money, and now Juanita has the fake eye. But just a few weeks ago, we found a big tumor behind the fake eye, and just pray we are waiting for the results of, you say, pathology or whatever you say. Hopefully, it's nothing bad. But who knows? But the other eye, the doctor says, oh, it's 50-50. 50 chance and that she's going to lose it. 50 chance that we are going to keep it. But please pray. But you, if you come to Guatemala, and hopefully you can come next year, and on your bulletins you have the dates of the mission trip for next year. Hey, New Life, you can come with us, please. Please do. Please, 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 please. We need your help. And you can sing there too. Happy Tummies, it is a beautiful ministry. Happy Tummies, they come after school. School in Guatemala goes, oh, I have just 25 minutes off. This is the hard thing in North America, see? When I come to America, people says, what is your favorite thing in America? My favorite thing in America is to drive a car in a good roads. See? Yeah. The things that I don't like at this point, people says, you just have 25 minutes. Because it is hard to say many things in 25 minutes, but I still have 24. No, it's okay. But anyway, Happy Tummies, they come after school, and we teach them a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Bible class, Bible lesson. And they have to memorize one verse. And after that, we call them to come back for a nutrition lunch, beautiful lunch, and they eat. But after that, with the money that the sponsors gave us, when we are knocking doors for sponsors, I ask them if they can give us $20 a month. Actually, I have these prayer cards, Happy Tummies prayer cards, and the back, there is a table in the lobby of the church. If you can pray and consider to be the sponsor for one of these little ones, oh, please, please think about it. It is $30 a month. Of course, every donation is tax deductible receipt. But with that money, we can provide the lunch. We hire four elementary school teachers too to help them, because after lunch, the teacher says, okay, guys, come back to the tables, please. It's homework time. And we noticed 3 years ago when we start asking for report cards, I will say 91% of them, they didn't pass three or four classes because the malnutrition, they didn't pass math, social, science, and that kind of, it was a mess, big academically mess. But praise God, 2 months ago, the last report card, we noticed that maybe 91, 92% of them passed all the classes. And to God be the glory for that. But listen, I'm serious. If you've never been in a mission trip, you will love it. We are located in the top of the mountains in Guatemala, beside the Lake Atitlan. You can type in your computer this afternoon, Lake Atitlan in Guatemala, and you will see National Geographic says it's one of the 10 most beautiful lakes in the world. You will see three huge volcanoes beside the lake and 12 villages, and each village has the name of the disciples of Jesus, Matthew, John, Peter. It is so beautiful. You will love to be with Happy Tummies. But also, because Happy Tummies comes after school, my building is empty. And I come from a dad that he doesn't like to see empty buildings. And he says, okay, what else we can do in the morning? Because children come until after 1 o'clock. Ah, okay, let's start another ministry. And we start ministry, I don't know if, well, New Life do, but how about you guys? Do you understand what does abuelos means? Abuelos means grandparents. And we have grandparents. These elder people, grandparents, they are coming from 78 through 90-something, 94, 95. There is people that their families have been abandoning them, and they don't have a place to eat. And sometimes even their children kick them out from their homes, and they don't have a place to eat. They don't have a place. So four of them, they don't have a place to spend the night. And four of them, they go every night to the Catholic church and ask the Catholic father if they allow them to sleep in the benches. But praise God, through a couple in Indiana, God provided in Guatemala, we said big piece of land. In America, that is not a big piece of land. But for us, it's almost 1 acre of land. But it's big enough for us to build the new home for abuelitos, for abuelos, because this couple says, there would be any chance for abuelos to eat 3 meals a day, because right now they are eating just breakfast. And they says, why they don't stay for lunch? And I says, because at lunchtime, we have 80 firecrackers then comes after school, and those firecrackers, they run all over, and they can kill the abuelos. See? And we need to move the abuelos to another place. And they says, okay, here is the money to buy the land for abuelos. And they gave us the money. We have the land already, but now we need to build. We start building already. The walls are pretty high. We are waiting for roof, but we are going to for 3 floors. Why? Because my other passion, very, very quick, my other passion is to train pastors and plant churches. And my dad, we just celebrated 100 years of my dad 3 weeks ago. He's still in a good shape. When he was pastoring for 70 years, and in his files, he remembered that he started 53 churches. And all the time, he put in my mind, Luis, multiplication. A healthy church needs to multiply, multiplication. And he multiplied every single church where he was a pastor. Well, so far, God allowed us with my wife to start 22 churches in the area with the Mayan Indians. But we noticed that 99% of my pastors, Mayan pastors in the mountains, they never finished high school. And 75% never finished elementary school. And there is not a Bible institute or seminary that accept them because they never finished high school. And I'm mad. I went to the seminary, but I got mad to my seminary because it says, do you have something for these people that never finished high school? No, we don't have anything for them. Oh. Actually, we are improving our education. And I told my staff, hey guys, if they don't accept them, we accept them. And we start teaching them Bible, homiletics, hermeneutics, New Testament, Old Testament, the doctrines of God, the doctrines of Jesus, all the doctrines in the Bible, but with no credit. Finally, praise God, last November, one of the deans in the seminary called me and says, Luis, guess what? The faculty, because I've been calling almost twice a month, finally, the faculty approved a curriculum for people that never finished high school. And they says, if they finish this program, please, they gave me all the materials and the books. If they finish this, they can have, in 2 years, they can have a diploma in theology. If they finish 3 years, they can have a diploma in theology studies. If they finish 4 years, they can have a bachelor in theology. And I says, yes. And we start already the real Bible Institute with credits and everything. The name of the Bible Institute is Instituto Biblico Nueva Vida. Yes, New Life Bible Institute. Yes, and we start building now. And do you know what, church? I am here to ask you. Well, yes, I am. Why? Number one is a principle in the Bible. In the very beginning, I was very ashamed to ask. Not anymore. Let me paraphrase this. Jesus told his disciples, do you know what, guys? I, as a God, because Jesus was God, as a God, I know your needs. But do you know what? You don't have what do you need because you never ask. Amen. Simple. Amen. Ask and you will receive. One, a friend of mine told me, Luis, asking equals humble. Don't ask equals pride. And I am here to ask you because I can't do it by myself. I need your help. If you want to sponsor one child, please help me. But also, listen, I have my blocks in here. We are building with these blocks. Can you see it? Well, no, with these real blocks. But I found this store that they have mini materials. The rebar that they sell is this big, the rebar. The cement bags is like a tea bag. Everything is mini. They built the White House and this high. But do you know what? I decided to buy all these blocks and traveling all through all my churches in America with these blocks and asking the church, hey, church, if you buy one of these for $5, I can buy 8 of the real blocks in Guatemala to build the Bible Institute, to train pastors and send them to plant more churches. Do you know what? $5, you can help me to make the ripple effect bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Jessica is going to help me in the table after church. There, she's going to be there and she's going to explain you. This thing, if you want to be a sponsor of one of the little ones, do this, please. Okay, I have magnets right there. I don't have magnets right here with me, but take the picture with you. But Jessica, we really need to keep this information to send them an e-letter every month. Okay, do you have your Bibles with you? I still have 15 minutes, I think. Hopefully. It is 7 minutes, right? 15? Thank you, love you. Thank you. Okay. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. Hopefully, maybe. I will say maybe many of you never heard this story before in the Bible. Second King, the book of Second Kings, chapter 6. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase the story to you. You can read it. Right there is the story. Second Kings, chapter 6. And we are going to start in verse 24. In verse 24, the biblical names in Spanish, they are very hard to say. Can you imagine in English? Ooh, it's in the moon. But whatever the name of that guy is, sometimes later, Ben-Hadad, or whatever you say, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. Let me paraphrase to you. This guy says to his soldiers, do you know what, guys? Get all your equipment together, got everything that you need, and we are going to go up, and we are going to kill the Samaritans, but in this time, we are not going to use any weapons. We are going to kill them by hunger. And the way that we are going to do it is we are going to side the whole city because the city used to have walls. And he says, guys, just be around the city. If somebody tried to go out, kill him. If somebody tried to come in, kill him. And they're going to be very weak, very, very easy, very, very soon, because all the food is outside of the city. And when they're starting weak and dying, we are going to jump in the city and take the city, and that would be so easy. And they said, well, yeah. And the Bible says, verse 25, it was a big famine in the city that a donkey's head was selling for 80 shekels of silver. What did they want the donkey's head? To eat it. Have you ever had a donkey's head before? maybe in Africa, but I don't, I will say who bought the donkey's head, maybe the poorest. Maybe the rich people, they bought the legs and they bought another part of the donkey to eat it. But that wasn't the worst. Listen, the worst, the second worst. The Bible says, and 4 ounces of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Why did they want dove's dung? Fertilizer? To eat it. And it's a real story. It's a true story. Can you imagine those little ones, like a Happy Tommy's, coming to their moms and says, Mama, Mama, I'm hungry. And Mama saying, Honey, we have nothing to eat today. But do you know what? Open your mouth. The only thing that we have today is dove's dung. It's a real story. But that wasn't the worst. Listen. The Bible says, one lady was crying, verse 26. As the king was passing in one of the walls, one lady was crying and crying and says, Help me, my Lord, help me, my Lord, help me. It was crying, crying, and crying. And the king came back and says, What is going on with you? What is wrong? And the lady says, Do you know what, my king? I have a situation here with my neighbor. And what is the situation? My neighbor came yesterday and asked me to give up my son, to eat my son. And she says, if we eat your son today, tomorrow we are going to eat my son. And the lady says, and yesterday we killed my little boy, and we ate my boy, we took his arms, his legs, and put him in the pot, and we ate my son, and today she has hidden her son, and that is not fair. That is the situation. Seven minutes more to go for me. Let's jump to chapter 7. You can read the rest of the story before you go to bed tonight if you want. But chapter 7, verse 3 says, they were 4 guys with leprosy outside in the city. Those guys with leprosy, they were Samaritans. They were waiting there a routine that happened every day. What kind of routine? Okay, the relatives came from the city with baskets and put the baskets right there with food. They ate, and then the relatives came and picked up the basket 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. But now, these 4 guys with leprosy, they were so hungry because nobody can come out from the city. And this guy with leprosy, they says to each other, guys, do you know what? We are going to die. And the only 3 options, the 3 chances that we have means that. If we stay here, we are going to die because nobody is bringing food to us. Chance number 2, if we try to go into the city, we are going to die because there is no food in the city. Chance number 3, the only thing that we think that can work is if we go to the enemy's camp. If they have mercy on us, we are going to live. If they kill us, anyway, we are going to die. How about if we go to the enemy's camp? And the Bible says that they start walking to the enemy's camp. In that moment, God performed a miracle. Church, have you ever seen a miracle in your life? Have you? If you had never seen a miracle, you're missing something beautiful. I will say we are miracles. When Jesus came into our hearts, it's the biggest miracle that ever happened. But I have seen many miracles in our lives, in our ministry, with Happy Tommies, with Abuelitos. We have seen many miracles. But that day, God performed a miracle. What kind of miracle was that? The Bible says that God starts sending noises to the enemy's camp. What kind of noises? The Bible says the noises that these soldiers, the enemies, hear was thousands of thousands of thousands of horses, thousands of soldiers running and coming to kill them. Also, they heard the big, chariots? The chariots coming with horses, and he says, hey, listen, guys, listen, listen. That is terrible. The king of Israel, this is what the Bible says, the king of Israel, he put together all the armies, and they're coming to kill us, and they're going to eat us like a bread. Get out from here. And boom. And what happened with the four lepers is got the camp. Nobody were there. And they says, the Bible says, then they opened one of the tents, and they says, oh my goodness. Wine, bread, gold, silver, all kind of goodies. And the Bible says that they jump in the tent and they start eating and eating, and they ate and they ate and they ate. And the Bible says then they jump in the second tent and they did the same thing. Then they, in English you say yummy, yummy, right? And they start eating and they ate and they ate. Actually, the Bible says that they went outside and they drill four holes in the ground and they start bringing all kind of goodies, gold, silver, and they start hiding in those holes. But the Bible says that they jump in the third tent, and when they were in the third tent, something happened. And I want to finish with that. Verse 9. If you can underline verse 9, it is a wonderful verse. Verse 9. When they were there, I will say they wake up of the real situation. When they were there, one of the guys says these words. Listen, hey guys, we are not doing right. Today is a day of good news. If we keep it to ourselves, punishment is going to take over us. Let's go at once and give the good news to our people in the city. With all my respect, it's my first time in this church, and I promise, neither Jessica or Christopher has been telling me about you. No, I promise. I don't know you. But I compare, with all my respect, not just this church, but any local church around the world, I compare with these four guys with leprosy. Why? Listen, how many services do you have in the week here? Three. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, at least two in this building, okay? Okay, you come on Sunday morning and you sit in those chairs there and you have good music and your pastor prepare a good sermon and he deliver a good sermon, and just move your head if this ever happened to you sometimes. You go to the parking lot when church is over and you start your car and you turn your head to your wife, husband, or wherever is in your car with you, and you says, oh, it was a good service today. If it ever happened to you, see? And why do you say it was a good service today? Because the music was good, the sermon was good, and you were full spiritually, and you go home, and you came back on Wednesday night, and you sit down again in those chairs, and you say again the same thing in the parking lot, it was a good service again today, and you come back on Sunday again, and do you know what, guys? It is not fair. Why? Because people outside, they are eating dung. Many of them, they're eating pornography, alcohol, drugs, illegal sex. They have no satisfaction in their heart. And do you know what we do? Because we have the living bread, amen, the living water. And church, we are not doing right. Just come in and sit down in those chairs. It is time to open our mouth and tell people that there is hope in Jesus Christ. They are taking their lives because there is emptiness in their heart. They are taking, even though they are sometimes they are rich, riches doesn't bring happiness to life. You can see the history of the famous people taking their lives because the emptiness and their hearts. But the real thing that brings happiness to the heart, satisfaction to my heart, is Jesus Christ, our Savior. I would pray right now, and I would pray that God can give us, can give you, well, I would say can give us, because I really want to have that opportunity too. If God can give us this week an opportunity, maybe in your job, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in college, maybe in the school, wherever you are working or doing everything, if you have one opportunity to open your mouth. It says, Pastor Luis, I don't know one verse of the Bible. You don't need to know one verse of the Bible. Just open your mouth. If you go, not right now, but if you can go later to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12, Moses told God, when God was asking Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh to take the people out, and Moses says, do you know what, God? I've never been eloquent. I have a lot of problems in my mouth. And God says to Moses, go, and I will be in your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. Church, just open your mouth and share your faith and tell people that there is a hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much because you are so good to us. Thank you because I don't understand why you choose me. There is nothing good in me. But you called me to be your child and you called me to be your servant. If we are your children, Father, there is no fair to be here just eating when there is people eating dung outside. Give us a good opportunity this week, maybe in the bank, maybe in the grocery store, maybe in the post office, in my neighborhood, in college, in my work, wherever, just help me to share, to open my mouth. Like a Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed to give testimony of the good news. Father, help us to open our mouth and tell people that there is hope in Jesus Christ. In his wonderful name we pray this morning. Amen and amen. God bless your church. Thank you.